What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Vile Files. What a crazy week. We're wrapping up the Bachelor finale, and we have a great show for you to recap all things Bachelor finale and AFR with the wonderful Zuri Hall is joining us today.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me here, Nick. I'm so excited.
It's so nice to be here. We have the team as well, Chrissy, Amanda, and Allie. Before we get into the recap, just a quick reminder, the conversation, really it's just Breeze after the final rose and tell-all because she was, you know, cut out of both. So we got her. It's a win for us. So I don't know. But Bree was great, and be sure to check that out, as well as check out our Ask Nick episode if you're looking for some wonderful relationship advice and tragic stories about people's lives that we try to solve. Anything else before we get into the recap? Chrissy, Ellie, Amanda?
No.
Well, let's do it. Zuri, before we get into the finale,
yeah,
what were your thoughts and feelings about the season itself, specifically the show?
Right.
And then we'll talk about
right.
the outside of the show
yeah.
as well.
There are two different things, right? I was excited for Matt. Obviously, having someone who was new to the franchise entirely mm-hmm. made it interesting to watch in a new way. It's like, okay, this person hasn't been, I don't want to say tainted by bad, like they're not in the yeah. cycle. They're not in the world yet. So I'm curious to know how this guy's going to react because he's not used to this. So whatever I'm seeing on camera on screen is, I'm going to assume, just totally genuine. You know, there's no ulterior motive at play. Sometimes that translated as awkward, but in a way that was also very endearing. And so I enjoyed it. If anything, my biggest sort of takeaway from this season, outside of the obvious and all of the controversy that swirls around it, attachment theory. Do you know about attachment theory?
Yeah, we've
yeah,
talked,
have you
about,
talked about
we've
it.
We've had a few episodes
yeah.
talking about it.
I, for whatever reason, all I could think about, particularly in moments of last night's episode, was avoidant, dismissive behavior from Matt. And I say that with love as someone yeah. who is a recovering avoidant, dismissive. So there were a couple moments there. I was like, man, I feel for him. I can see that he knows he's not ready for this. And he's got some self-work to do in that area, probably, to get a little more comfortable with the idea of commitment. But then it's like, you got to give the guy a break because he got all the curveballs thrown at him. So at this point, just surviving the season was accomplishment enough.
I totally agree with that. I've mentioned this before, and it's a nice segue to reiterate. Mm-hmm. I'm always I am defensive of my bachelor and bachelorette peers,
yeah.
just how challenging it is to lead mm-hmm. that franchise. And for so many reasons, Matt was asked to deal with more than anyone before him.
So one,
I mean, it's just being
yeah.
the first Black bachelor, mm-hmm. there's a pressure I can't relate to, an expectation that comes from everyone watching the show, mm-hmm. and then you have to deal with the controversy, what Rachel did, what Chris Harrison said, and mm-hmm. and then the pressure of Matt to speak on that.
Yeah.
And then from a production standpoint, just the 35 women he was forced to meet. Like, that's an insane amount.
Forced to meet.
Yes.
Oh, my God. What a hard life. Poor Matt James and his 35 beautiful women.
It's no disrespect to the women. It doesn't even matter if they were the 35 most eligible
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
It's just like, how do you focus on anyone if
yeah,
you have to meet 35 people? And so, mm-hmm. you know, we've talked about this with Bree. Like, he spent more time just meeting people.
Right.
Like, how
right.
do you do that? And I think in his position, you're just constantly like every day, Matt, it's like Matt was handed a grenade
mm-hmm.
and asked to defuse it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
how it feels to be the bachelor sometimes.
Okay.
And,
that's obviously, I can't
yeah.
understand that at all. And when you put it like that, it makes me all the more sure that I could never survive in this mansion. But I do, again, I have compassion for Matt. And I really like him as a person. I'm
yeah.
just saying, if we're talking about relationship dynamics and some of the behavioral cues, like that's one thing that stood out to me because it resonated with me,
yeah.
right? Like I see it and I relate to it. But I like him and I know he had a tough task and more than one at the end and a lot of it he didn't sign up for. So I don't envy him at all.
Yeah, he's been through a lot. But
mm-hmm.
I agree with you. You're like, I think last night, I think the overwhelming response from like a lot of people, including myself, is like, you know, we thought this before maybe, but this isn't a guy who's ready to maybe get engaged or settle down or be in a serious relationship anytime soon. Forget about the show. Just, you know,
just
if Matt stayed single for the next few years to, you know, figure out who, you know, he is or who he wants to be with, that wouldn't surprise me. And and that's okay as well. But it really shined a light on just maybe how unready Matt is for a relationship, which, you know, given that he was a bachelor, there's some irony there, but
and I defer to you on this one. I'm curious to know your thoughts because of that, because watching, you know, last night's final episode, I was like, he doesn't seem ready at all, but he was so in he's as in love as he can understand love to be at this point, because he's talked about the fact that he doesn't think he's truly been in it before. And yet still suddenly, and this is before the controversy obviously blew up, he has these cold feet. And so that's the only thing that made me wonder, like, wait, is he at all ready for a commitment? Was he ready when he signed up? Was he kind of like, let's just see how this goes? I'm genuinely asking. That is not rhetorical.
I mean, just to be candid, I think why Matt was asked to be the bachelor, whether he was ready for love or not, was on the bottom of the list of considerations, right?
Yes.
And that's always the case to some degree. This is a TV show, and they're going to pick their lead based off a lot of factors.
Yeah, I
think they prefer their leads to be ready for love sometimes.
But if they're not.
And if they're not, they'll work with what they have. You know, Matt was named the bachelor during a time where social justice was talked about. It was the franchise was under a lot of pressure for being more diverse. They got themselves in this position by having 24 seasons of The Bachelor before them and never casting a black lead. And so I think they, and then you have the pandemic, right? You have, they casted Matt for Claire's season. Then the pandemic hit, then that got pushed, right? And and so it wasn't just that. I think they ideally wanted Matt to go on the Bachelorette, and the world just kind of blew up.
And that,
it was a perfect storm or imperfect storm. And so, you know, I think they had pegged Matt, right? I was talking about this with Bree offline, just kind of, you know, do you have questions? My guess is when they casted Matt on Claire's season, they had in their, like, this could be our next lead.
Right.
But I think the show's not as planned out as people sometimes like to believe, right? Because things can change. If they thought Michelle was going to be as wonderful as we all have come to realize Michelle is, and now she's the one of the next bachelorettes, they would not have had her sit in a hotel for 2 weeks for four episodes while we watched a bunch unfold.
Yeah,
I think Michelle surprised the producers as much as anyone, right? Yeah. And so that's kind of my point is, but they had Matt pegged as a potential candidate, and then with the pandemic and all these things happening, they named Matt the Bachelor, and I don't think there was a lot of discussions about what's your dating life, how ready are you, let's walk through it. They named him the Bachelor, then got to know their Bachelor, and found out this is a guy who has a kind of an avoidant tendency when it comes to relationships, so I guess let's have that be our main theme.
And I was gonna say, I appreciated how that played out through the season, right, as someone who's like, wow, I feel like it's me with no hair in, you know, like my mid-20s, maybe, before I got over it, and so I've actually appreciated him being open and candid about that, and I really respected the sit-down that he had with Chris Harrison towards the end and said, look, I don't know where I stand. I don't know how I feel right now. And I'm not going to move forward with a commitment that I can't fully invest in. And then the part with the ring where he's kind of, it was a little on the nose, but it tugged at my heartstrings. It really did. Because, you know, when he brought up his father and, you know, what the ring represents and how seriously he takes it, you've got to respect someone who can take it seriously enough to just not do it, happy ending, be damned, if he can't follow through. So I respected that.
Yeah.
And what about his mom? The conversation with his mom, that obviously had the huge effect of, on like what, like her basically telling him love doesn't last. Played out on the show, at least, like it had the biggest turnaround of where he was to what he ended up being.
Totally. And I guess going back to Zuri's point first, it is interesting. I don't know if how the show is evolving, or if it's the show gets any credit, or they're just going with what Matt's giving them. But, you know, it's weird. This is a show about love. This is a show about getting engaged and all these things. But to your point, like, love these days is not what it used to be. And dating is not what it used to be. And we're learning about, you know, things like attachment theory very few of us come from these idealistic families and upbringings, and we all families are kind of weird, and we all have our bullshit, and we're all dealing with it, and things like fuckboys and ghosting and all these things are out there, and that's dating today.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, is it the new norm to not, like, I kind of wonder if engagements, as long as the show keeps going and we'll, you know, there's always talks with all the controversy, but now we're having even another Bachelorette season.
Two, so we got double whammies back to back.
Is engagement going to be as much of an expectation as it used to be?
I don't think it will, and I'm glad about that. I mean, it doesn't take away that much from the story, from immersing yourself in these women and these men and their lives. At the end of the day, so many of the engagements end without a wedding anyway. I don't know that any of us are really expecting that everyone who gets engaged follows through with a wedding, and I don't think it takes away from enjoying the show that much, you know? So I kind of appreciate that the pressure's off for that. I don't mind just watching and seeing who they choose. Honestly, suspending reality when I was watching Rachel and Matt's final moments, you know, you had the, oh no, he's not going to propose moment. And then the, oh wait, but they're still together. And so for like five very fleeting seconds, I was able to be like, you know, good for them. You know, they're still, oh wait, never mind. Yeah. Never mind. Stand down. But I think that's something that could continue without really doing much harm to the franchise.
I agree. All right. I think it's just the show adjusting. Mm-hmm. Now with that said, back to Chrissy's point, it makes, like, that's what's interesting, right? Is that here's Matt being realistic, his mom just saying, I don't care what these producers are telling you, man. Like, hey, like, you don't have to do this. At the same time, you couldn't help but listen to his mom. You've heard the story and wonder, despite all the level-headedness that came from his mom, you know, was it his mom projecting, you know, some of the things that she's had, her experiences, the hurt she's had to experience, and then how much, you know, our parents projecting things that happened to them onto us, and we carry that weight with us. How much did that play a role in his decision? Despite, again, you know, the juxtaposition of, like, that was his mom, what she said was very grounded, very realistic, and all normal, right? But was it also just about Matt, or was it a projection? It was kind of a fascinating, you know.
I think a little bit of both, right? I think what she said, whether it was projection or not, reaffirms the stories that he's been telling himself about himself and who he is and how he is when it comes to love for most of his adult life, probably. And obviously his parents shaped that and her kind of being like, love's not enough. You can peace out if you want to. I don't really know if you're sure about this. For someone who already is on the fence when it comes to commitment, sometimes that's all you need to deactivate, like 100%. So if you're already looking for a way out, or you're already starting to feel the walls closing in, and maybe you could move forward with this commitment, or maybe not, but someone gives you an out and it's someone you love so much and clearly are so protective over, and clearly you don't want to repeat the past mistakes that you feel your parents, or specifically your father, made, oh, that's all the deactivation strategy I need. I'm out. Like, I'd be out if I was in his situation.
Because it was such a, you know, with Matt, it was him being new to this experience. You kind of, and I think every person who goes on the show, it happens where there's this kind of conscious choice to just say, you know what, I want to let this bubble kind of consume me. I'm gonna just go for it.
Yeah,
you know, and so you saw Matt just like, hey, I'm looking for a wife. I'm looking for a fiance, whatever.
Yeah,
I'll go for it.
Yeah,
and I believe there was an earnestness and sincerity on Matt's part until, you know, he's in this bubble. He's isolated. He's alone. All these people are new to him. He doesn't have any relationships with his producers prior to coming in.
Right,
like someone before who might have been on The Bachelorette. And then he meets his mom and his brother for the first time in weeks. And his mom's just like, snap out of it.
Right. okay, this isn't real. Wait, so do you think, from your perspective, was that a good thing? Was it good to snap him out of this bubble? Because life wouldn't be happening for him and whoever he chose in that bubble. So is it better that he saved, or that, excuse me, that his mother saved two people the heartbreak?
It's hard to say with Matt. Probiotic, your digestive health is a key to great health in general. And sometimes when we try to eat healthy, it's not fun, right? Or we try to drink healthy, not sometimes fun. But huzzah is not one of those. No, they make taking care of yourself fun and tasty with their probiotic seltzer. Cheers to those fizzy, feel-good moments that make your whole day with Huzzah, a probiotic seltzer with benefits. Wow. Is that even possible? It sure is. Celebrate those rare, cherished, lived out moments with Huzzah, a bold new probiotic seltzer with benefits. Huzzah contains added probiotics to support healthy digestion. Each flavor is non-perishable and stored at room temperature, but it is delicious and refreshing when served cold. I can back that up. My favorite flavor is the raspberry lemon. It's tangy. Ugh. It's got fruitiness and citrus spark with zero sugar and just 5 calories. Strawberry hibiscus, also a nice go-to, you know, and they also have juicy pear. That's the best one for me. Really? I haven't had that one.
You haven't? It's really, really, really good and refreshing.
They're healthy. They help you with your gut health, your digestive health, and people really take for granted their gut health, but now you can do it and also just like have a refreshing drink all at the same time. What a win. Stock up on Huzzah Probiotic Seltzer by using code VIALL for 20% off your order at drinkhuzzah.com. That's code VIALL for 20% off at drinkhuzzah, HUZZAH.com. Anyways, ShipStation. Oh, baby. Hey. Are you running a business out of your home? Are you trying to stay safe and inside, but all at the same time trying to get things done? Do you want to have efficient shipping with your business? Well, ShipStation is here to make all that happen. If you need to ship things, if you have a small business like we do at Natural Habits, you can ship anything. Well, I don't know about anything, but you can ship anything. I don't know, like a aircraft carrier, probably not. But like most things, you can, not the world, we're in a shipping business, you know, you got to streamline things. If you want to ship things, USPS, UPS, FedEx, easily compare carriers and choose the best solutions every time. With ShipStation, small businesses can now access the same rates usually reserved for the Fortune 500 companies. Without the contracts or commitments, it's no wonder ShipStation has more 5-star reviews than any other shipping software. I mean, that all sounds great, but like I said, NH Oils, Natural Habits, runs on ShipStation. So need you more of a reference? I mean, we use it every day. Makes it super efficient, helps with customer service, gets you the information that you need to track your orders and get things on time, all while not paying an arm and a leg for shipping, which, by the way, if you're shipping your products, is a very expensive cost of doing business. So why don't we minimize those costs, get those margins up, cost down. Boom. Just use my offer code VIALL to get a 60-day free trial. That's 2 months free of no hassle, stress-free shipping. Just go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, type in VIALL, that's ShipStation.com, enter code VIALL, make ship happen. He's clearly very close with his mother,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And his mom said in an interview, she's like, you know, I forget the exact wording, but she's like, I'm going to meet these women, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to let Matt make his own decision. Mm-hmm. After I tell him my opinion, and then, you know, it was like, mm-hmm. I'll let Matt make his own decision after I tell him what I think.
But he's going to know what I think first. You know,
like, and then he can decide after I share. Right. It's just like, so is Matt gets to make his own choice?
Exactly. Like, not so really.
You clearly there's a love there between him and his mom and everyone, you know, like it just depends. You know, when I was the bachelor, mm-hmm. I was a little older than Matt, and my relationship with my parents was different. I have a lot of siblings. Mm-hmm. And so like my relationship with my parents became more of a friendship, you know, in my adult life.
Yeah.
So by the time I was a bachelor, I was like, yeah, I'm curious what you guys think, but I'm not making my own decision.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like when I met my parents and introduced them to Vanessa and Raven, I wasn't looking to help them, have them help me make a decision.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. It was like, I hope you like these women.
Yeah.
And I hope you like who I'm going to pick.
However,
I'm not really interested in your take, to be totally honest, you know, because it was, that was, you know,
and that is a level of immaturity when it comes to, not to imply that he's immature in some way, but that is, at a certain point you grow out of, you know, needing parental approval for certain things. And it seems like, well, I will say it's understandable that Matt hasn't had that yet, because if you've never really been in love with someone and really been like, I'm fighting for you regardless, world be damned, you haven't had that uncomfortable moment with a parent where it's like, thank you for your opinion, but I'll be doing this anyway. And for Matt to already be on the fence about how he's feeling, I just don't think he was committed enough emotionally to either lady to say it's worth, you know, cutting the cord.
Yeah, you really saw Matt struggle throughout the season of trying to kind of, you know, really get in the pocket, so to speak, to really, it's almost like he was convincing himself.
Yes, which is tough to watch, though. Yeah. Because a part of you is like, you don't have to do this. You don't have to choose anyone if you don't want to. Which is why in the end, I'm glad with how it played out. I am. I mean, obviously, after the final rose is kind of its own conversation. But self-contained to that episode, I'm glad with how it played out, because I feel like he was true to his convictions. I think his mom certainly moved the needle, but I think deep down he wasn't ready, period.
I would agree, know, that... And I don't know Matt that well, but yeah, I think his mom almost kind of gave him permission to kind of question the bubble that he was in. Yeah. And if Matt thought he was really ready for an engagement, he probably would have anyways. Yeah. But in that world, you're just like, that's what, and like, it's not like all of a sudden, you know, people are on The Bachelor are being more realistic.
Yeah.
It's just times have changed. You know, I've spoken this before. There was a time when The Bachelor, if he didn't get engaged or pick a woman, he was crucified by Bachelor Nation as being ungrateful. And how could you say no to all these amazing women? So it was like, I'm not doing that. You know, like, I am picking somebody, be damned, like, you know, we'll
figure it out. Come get this ring, girl. Come get this ring.
And so I'm glad that, you know, not only the, like, just our, the fans are thinking this is nuts. Like, it's okay. Yes, let's date. That makes sense. And and that way, Matt, you know, Matt and Rachel are not together. And like, I can say this personally. It's like, you know, my relationship with Vanessa was very real, but I don't really think of her in my heart as my ex-fiance.
That wouldn't surprise me, though, honestly. In relation to the production, but why specifically for you is that the case? Do you feel like post engagement it didn't feel engagey enough, for lack of a better phrase?
I'd be curious what my peers have thought.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure, having had some sort of conversation with them, that, you know, Vanessa and I had this conversation early on that, like, we got engaged for the show. Even Vanessa had these, like, her and I had conversations. She's like, you know, I said this to Andy when I was like, hey, I really like you.
Yeah.
But, like, if you don't want to get engaged, I'm cool with that, you know? And at the time, she was like, I don't want to be the first bachelorette to not be asked to get engaged. I was like, oh, fuck it. Okay, fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But so afterwards, it's like, you know, Vanessa and I had this, like, I love you. You know, the feelings there, genuine, real. But we don't know each other. And if this works out, I picture myself reproposing, you know, and I know, I think, like, Jordan Rogers has said that about JoJo.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, it's, you want to, totally, like, there's a show element. And it's like, if in a year I'm like, you know what, let's, because it's always like, it's every time someone gets engaged, they do the press tour and it's always like, have you planned a date? I don't know this man's
middle name. But, I am the press. I am press.
No one's ever, in the history of the show, no one's ever been like, actually, December 12th.
Yeah.
Invites in the mail, baby. Everyone's like, no, not really.
You know, we'll see. We're taking it one day at a time.
You know, 2 years later, still getting to know.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so that's why I don't. And again, that's not a criticism to Vanessa. I don't. I think, I'm assuming she feels the exact same way about me, but, you know, maybe that silly, I mean, no, I hate to say this for Neil Lane, because who knows, maybe there won't be like a Neil Lane moment going forward, because maybe engagements won't be as important to the show's success as before.
Well, that's okay, because now he could be a therapist.
What?
Neil? That's okay, because now he's a love therapist.
Dr. Lane.
Neil's the greatest. He's I always enjoyed my time with Neil.
He's he's got these like extended like beats where he's like, tell me about your love.
Let's
Does she think you're
going
to engage? Tell me everything.
Guess is that whole conversation was like, hey, Matt, I know you don't want to get engaged, but we have a contract with Neil, so we could just...
What am I going to need you to do?
Just take the pear shape.
Yeah.
Just use the pear shape.
Right.
Just take it. Tough sell, the pear shape.
Let's break down the episode a little bit before we get in the AFR. I mean... you know, what more can we say about Michelle other than she really is America's sweetheart?
Yes.
I mean, every time she really is on the screen, you're just like, God, you're endearing.
Gosh, she's
the Sandra Bullock of Bachelor Nation.
Really? Boom. Yeah, that's great.
I like the title.
Yeah.
She was just so open and emotional in a very genuine way. She's stunning and just so smart. And I'm just like, God, you just want her to win. You just really root for her. And I was surprised. Wait, we're not doing AFR yet, though, right? I'm trying to stay contained.
It's fine. Whatever.
Is it?
If you have
You already messed up the start of my podcast. Do whatever you want at this point.
We bounce around a lot.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Totally cool. Fine. I'm a Gemini, so there's going to be a lot of all over the place. In the AFR episode, I was surprised when she said that she just asked for a couple of minutes to speak with Matt for closure, and that he denied that request.
That
was news, man.
That was news, and. So when Matt said that, when Michelle said that, my first reaction was, did that really happen?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And what I mean by that really happened, I wondered if, I believed Michelle's point of view, but it's entirely possible, and I love my producer friends, it's entirely possible she asked the producers, can I talk to Matt?
Mm-hmm.
And they told her, Matt doesn't want to, and maybe they didn't present to the Matt. Now I'm convinced they did because
he apologized. Though.
He apologized. They aired that. That wasn't live. I can't imagine the show would put themselves on blast if it was not true.
Yeah.
So, but in that world, those things, you know, because it was such a like, damn, you said no,
right?
Right? Because I've been in Matt's position, and I was surprised. I feel like I would have been like, yeah, sure. I feel like a total, like.
I'm not going to lie. It felt a little off brand for the Matt we know and love.
That's nicely put. Because Matt has been so considerate and gracious and like, I'm going to just let you, thank you for sharing.
Hit me with a thank you for sharing.
I want you to share. Keep sharing. And he didn't want Michelle to share anymore.
Yeah, yeah. It made me wonder, I have no idea, this is purely speculative, but if it was one of those things where he just needed to compartmentalize and that was already difficult and he didn't want to go back there because he had to focus on this Rachel thing, or if, I guess that's really it.
I mean, I hear you.
I don't think there's an or.
Couple reasons why you should get Figs. One, we have essential workers that have always been essential, and specifically our healthcare workers fighting the good fight, especially when it comes to COVID, but even when we're not dealing with a world pandemic. Our healthcare workers are great people. And we want them to look good and look fashionable and be stylish. So let's up
be comfortable.
Be comfortable. Let's up their game with some stylish Figs. Just so you know, I'm currently dating a lovely woman who's in the healthcare as well, and she is a good Samaritan, and she wears Figs. She steals my Figs. She loves the Figs. She's also a fashion icon. I like to think of her that way. And she vouches for Figs. I got her Figs, and she was like, "You're the best boyfriend of all time." Also, we like to role play. And I like to dress up and play doctor, and that makes it fun,
too. This is an overshare.
Overshare. So if you want to role play, also look like a smart person at the grocery store, get your Figs now, or just support the healthcare workers in your life. Figs has brought scrubs to the 21st century by creating scrubs with a focus on design, function, and comfort. They got some technical shit, right? It's awesome. It wicks away moisture. It's anti-wrinkle. It's ridiculously soft.
Odor control.
Plus, it's got pockets, and pockets are great. 24 essentials. So if you are one of those awesome humans who works in healthcare, Figs wants you to wear the scrubs you deserve and enjoy 15% off your first order. And if you're not working on the front lines, thank someone who is with the best scrubs in the world. Figs will give you 15% off too. Use code VIALL15. That's VIALL15 at checkout. Head to wearfigs.com. That's WEARFIGS.com and enter my code VIALL15 at checkout. Get ready to love your scrubs. I get why Matt was... I joke. I still have neck problems from the stress I endured from the final 2 weeks of being the Bachelor. It's it's a miserable time. So I don't doubt that Matt was just an emotional, physical mess.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's like, still, wow, you said...
2 minutes, bro?
No. I'm good. We didn't get much of an answer for Matt other than, and I guess maybe sometimes what can you say other than, you're right.
I'm sorry.
I'm wrong. Yeah. I was sorry. It's hard for Matt to, you know, he couldn't go on AFR and be like, you don't know what it's like to be the Bachelor. And I was so stressed out because no one has sympathy for you in that moment.
Right.
And maybe it wasn't a valid excuse because I think we're all like, I mean, couldn't you just have talked to her?
Yeah.
Like, just. Yeah.
Maybe he felt like, because he did say in his apology during AFR, you know, if I'd known that you were this upset about it or, you know, going through what I now realize you were going through, I would have taken it in a minute. So maybe he felt like we've had the conversation. It was awkward. It hurt, but let's rip the Band-Aid off. I'm trying to see a world in which he's doing it because he thinks it's for the best. You know, you break up with someone off camera in everyday life. You have the speech. It is what it is. People say what they need to say or so you assume. Once you walk out of there, if I'm trying to walk out of there and into my future, whatever that is, I don't know if I really want to revisit the combo. And if he didn't realize that she was so emotional and so hurt after.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. But in real life, we tend to, at least granted, like it's hard to compare, like for Michelle in that world, I know it felt in that moment probably like a guy she'd been dating for a couple of years kind of thing, right? Yeah. The intensity of it.
Right. Her
and usually in those real life relationships, there is a couple like breakup conversations.
Oh, no doubt. Because listen, I have had a few Michelle moments in my life where I'm like, hold on, I just need you to run that back real quick. We need to break this down.
I need you to sit there and listen to me say it all
just
over
let me
again
get it
because
out.
I need to get it out. Yeah. And that's the hardest part about that show is that when those relationships end,
that's it.
You're just like, it's over.
Wow.
And Michelle's just like, wait, huh? I just gave you a fucking gift.
Right? Matching jerseys.
And now you're leaving the jerseys in my room as you walk away and I have to stare at them.
Oh, yeah, keep man. Your,
brutal.
Let's walk through the day from Michelle's point of view. Day starts out. She just met Matt's parents.
Yeah.
Matt mom's cries because of this beautiful conversation. And when you make a mom cry, you're thinking.
You're in there. You're in Mrs. James reporting for duty.
I am good. I made her cry. You know, I made mom's. I made Andy's mom cry. I thought I was like, I'm game. This is it. This is done. And then she goes, you know, what do you call it? Spudunking off of a wall. I don't know. What is she?
Repelling.
I don't
not
know.
Spudunking, whatever. Sir.
I don't know. Repelling and Matt is asking for kisses.
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
It was great.
Everything's
I loved it.
Good.
I
Matt's,
did.
You know, it didn't seem like there wasn't any of those like Matt's being weird, I don't know why moments. She goes in the night, she's got two gifts for Matt. One's a jersey for her. Mm-hmm. She has all these like teammate and we team name.
Yeah.
And,
it was like a speech before the big game. Like you got
so good.
And what sucks is it's like, you know, and that's what sucks about this show is it's unrealistic, it's bizarre, it's fast paced, and the playbook on the show has always been, you know, it's how the Bachelor or the Bachelorette gets out of these awkward conversations, and it's kind of bullshit because it doesn't happen in real life like they pretend is like, well. Now I realize because you said you love me or because you gave me a gift or that you were so open, hearing that, I now realize we can't be together. And I just...
It's tough.
When does that ever happen where all of a sudden a light goes off and you hear... It's like if I were to go home and now they'd be like, hey, you know, just so you know, like, I love you and you're the greatest. And I'm like... Hearing that, I hate you.
Yeah,
like,
I'm out.
I guess it has happened in the past, but not to the degree it seems that happened for everyone who's ever been the bachelor or the bachelorette. Yeah. And that's kind of the out that you get. And it's so fucked up in reality. And especially for someone in Michelle's position, it's such a like a punch in the face.
Yeah.
Literally, I mean, it quite literally feels like that. No, figuratively, literally, it's not. I know the difference. Figuratively, it feels like a punch in the face. And to Michelle's point, she's like, she probably didn't even like, it probably felt to her like, what just happened?
Yeah. You could see it on her face.
Is it the guilt?
Guilt for what? For
like, as the bachelor, is there a guilt there that you're like, this person I know I don't want?
Of course there's a guilt.
Like, and I am like going to tear them apart.
Of course there's a guilt. You feel sick. I mean, that's where the stress comes from. Like
So when they're like, I love you, you're like, go. The guilt is too much.
Save yourself.
I don't know the answer. Yeah. I can't confirm this from anyone, and certainly Matt, but I would bet a large sum of money that Matt knew that whole day he was going to break up with Michelle.
But, I would agree.
You know?
I would agree.
He didn't just... get a jersey and be like, now I know, you know? And so he, you know, was playing the role of that's the really hard part of, and that's not fun. And you're really torn up because you have the pressure and this is the show and there's these rules and you're trying to be, you know, a good employee, literally.
Yeah.
And you're also trying to be as nice as possible. And you're trying to like, you know, and there is some, like, there's also some truth to the fact that, well, it hurts in the moment. I go back to when Caitlin broke up with me. So mad. So mad. I wanted to push her in the pool. I'm so mad. I was just like, how could you do this? You knew how, like, you fucking knew, like, I asked you not to do this. But if it weren't for her allowing me to do that, say what I... It was my best moment I had. I'm not sitting here today if Caitlin doesn't allow me to, like, be my vulnerable self and let America sympathize with me. And all we do is love Michelle more.
Yeah.
For and that, I don't know if people like want to accept that. That is a reality. Mm-hmm. And so that is something that those are conversations you have as a lead. And it's hard to accept it in the moment. But you kind of take one for the team.
Yeah.
And Matt is going to get criticized. And Caitlin got criticized. That's the hard part. I don't think people realize is that like you do that and you know you're hurting them in the short term.
Yeah.
You know you're hurting them, but it is true that there is a payoff for sometimes, and it's just such a fucked up
hard
thing and it's a real challenge. It's a mindfuck.
I hope no one's crucifying Matt for that though. At the end of the day. Someone has to go home, right? Someone's heart will be broken. If the theory is, you know, we're both in love with you and he only picks one, there's no space that's reasonable to me where he is crucified. I mean, maybe you should have picked her and not Rachel. And again, this is purely in the context of the finale, not everything going on outside. But I mean, he's a good guy. He seems sweet enough. He seems like he's trying to make the best out of a very difficult situation. I feel super bad for Michelle, but also super excited now because you're right. The payoff is hello to our next bachelorette. Yeah. She so deserves it. I'm happy for her.
Totally. And so that is just the really tough part of that situation and just kind of just trying to shed some light on the mindset of where Matt is. But I totally empathize with Michelle in that moment and why she feels so blindsided, why she wanted to go to Matt. And I love that she said, I wasn't trying to change your mind, right? I accepted your decision. I just wanted to like, you could tell from Michelle, she's like, I actually wanted to have the breakup conversation that I didn't feel like I had because I truly didn't know what the hell was going on in that moment.
Right.
You know, I was like,
honestly, the more I think about it now, damn, that was kind of fucked up because this whole day, I'm just thinking about how the day went, right? And if there had been warning signs, maybe the rappelling wasn't quite the heart-to-heart that it kind of felt like it was. So truly in the moment where he was like, yeah, I can't do this, that felt like the first moment that she was getting, I can't do this energy. And 2 minutes later, he was gone. So when I put myself in that situation and in her shoes, that is a gut punch.
Yeah.
Oh, no, man. I've
no doubt in my mind that Michelle got back to her hotel room and didn't know what happened.
Yeah.
And didn't you're just feel sitting like, with that. And when you're blindsided by anything, whatever you said, you're just like, that's not how I felt. That's not what I wanted to say. Mm-hmm. You start, your blood pressure goes down, you start calming down, and then you start thinking about what you would have said had you like been in the right headspace.
Right.
And I think that's, I mean, I don't know for certain, but my guess is, I mean, very, very confidently, that's why Michelle wanted that time, just to get it off her chest, just to express so that she could move on.
Right.
And, I wish Michelle would have gotten that. And, you know, usually that stuff doesn't happen off camera though, had Michelle gotten that, it would have been filmed. I don't know whether we would have seen it or not. And maybe that's why Matt didn't feel like Michelle was going to get that authentic moment anyways.
Oh,
I don't know.
It. Okay.
That's just a guess.
Yeah. But I defer to you, former bachelor, on this one because I'm just like, I don't know. It hurts.
But I do feel for them. But Matt, before we get into AFR, you know, right? It's always like, When Chris comes to Rachel's door, what a mind fuck for Rachel, because she has no idea Michelle's not there. Mm-hmm. Chris comes up. He's literally leaning on the door.
As one does.
It's a really weird pose. It's like, hey,
super
Rachel.
Super cashier.
Hey. I feel like he noticed it, too, because he like quickly like moved down. It's like, wait, what am I doing?
Yeah. Sometimes you go in with an idea of how something's going to translate physically. And then you're like, never mind.
Hey, you're really relaxed here, bro. Like,
everything's fine.
Chris tells Rachel that Matt doesn't want to go on a date with her. If you're Rachel, you're like, I'm going home.
Mm-hmm.
He's in love with Michelle.
Yeah.
It was a particularly weird ending for so many reasons. But this, just looking at the episode.
Yeah.
No final date. Now, so they're, all right, Rachel, Matt wants to see you now. By the way, put this gown on.
Yeah, it was very sudden. I mean, by then I was like, cool, so no one's getting engaged. There will be no proposal. Matt is going to gently let her down in the engagement department, and then they'll be in a relationship.
Yeah, you could really see Rachel's brain working where she's like, did I win?
What's happening? Here?
What? I don't.
Did I get the ring? What? No.
What
is Michelle? Has anyone talked to Michelle?
It was so unclear. Yeah. And you could tell she's like, I don't know. Like, and then finally, he's like, yeah, I want to keep hanging out.
They must keep doing this.
Yeah. She's like, okay.
It was a very bizarre ending. Yes, to say the least.
So that was super weird. But let's get into AFR, which. It was overall a tough watch for many reasons. Mm-hmm. One, you know, because there was, I mean, what's new is there's no, you know, with the pandemic, there's no studio audience.
Right.
Which
just changes the energy.
I don't think people appreciate just how it was already going to be an uncomfortable conversation, a tough watch, given the context of the conversation.
Yeah.
But when you don't have a studio audience.
No one to cut away to.
There was an eeriness, a very, you know, it made sense why they added like a soundtrack in moments, but even that made it feel really, I didn't love that, but I get why they did that because the soundtrack added a level of it not being authentic because it just reminded you of the TV show that you knew was edited.
Right.
That's just,
I would agree. I think
I get it, you know, although it's quiet.
You needed something. Otherwise it's just so quiet. It's still TV at the end of the day and just watching 2 to 3 people talk in otherwise dead silence for as long as the episode went. I just think from a production standpoint, probably wasn't ideal. But yeah, not having an audience definitely made it harder to watch.
So, I mean, what were your thoughts? I mean, what were your thoughts going into the AFR and what were your expectations as a woman of color,
yeah,
did you look at it in a different lens? Like, what did you have expectations going in, and then what were your thoughts about the episode itself?
I didn't have any expectations, but I certainly had hopes of what would happen. I'll be honest, one of those hopes was, maybe I even slightly expected it. I thought maybe it would happen, but that Chris would pop up, right? That there might be an uncomfortable conversation with a black man, mm-hmm. you know, pun intended, and Emmanuel and Chris would sit down maybe at the end of the episode or somewhere and just kind of navigate, begin a public conversation about a controversy that in Chris's situation started publicly. I just felt like that would be a really great opportunity to kind of build on the GMA interview, you know, where he went on and apologized and kind of talk about it. What's the work we're doing here? What am I learning? What are these epiphanies? So I just thought that would have been nice to see. And I thought that maybe they would have done that. So I was surprised, honestly, when I didn't see him at all.
I agree. Uh-huh. I asked a couple producers, like, did you guys ever think about that? Mm-hmm. Because it seems like, to your point, kind of obvious.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Emmanuel, his whole brand, having uncomfortable mm-hmm. conversations. Here is Chris, who's, you know, made this mistake.
Yeah.
He has apologized, but has talked about the work and,
right.
you know, in these situations, and rightfully so, a lot of people want to say, okay, you apologized. Mm-hmm. You're learning. What have you learned?
Right.
Like, we want to hear it, and right. we want to hear it in a conversation. You know, there are a lot of, you know, the GMA interview, mm-hmm. it was what it was. I think I'm surprised, you know, even like publicists, like, these short form interviews that are mm-hmm. highly edited and cut mm-hmm. up, is that the way to,
yeah.
to get your message across anymore? I think a lot of people thought the interview fell very flat. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. And I looked at it, it's just like, I mean, what could Chris have said for us to be like, you know what?
We believe him. We forgive him. Move on.
Yeah. I just don't know if he could have in that.
No, God, no.
You know, and so no. to your point, I would have loved to see him mm-hmm. sit down with Emmanuel mm-hmm. and have Emmanuel ask him some very pointed questions that he mm-hmm. asked Rachel, yeah. That he had asked Matt, and see what Chris had to say.
Right.
And right. ultimately, I don't know if that was presented to Chris mm-hmm. or not. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
Now, whether that's AFR or maybe we see it in a different platform, maybe it's on Emmanuel's show, but mm-hmm. you would think
yeah.
that
yeah.
would be the move for Chris.
Right, right. And, you know, while I would love if he maybe sat down on Emmanuel's show, it just kind of is a bummer because it's a part of this conversation, right? It's a part of Bachelor Nation and the Bachelor audience. And so I would have loved for the franchise to bring that conversation to the audience to hear that and understand that, as opposed to the reverse where Chris goes on Emmanuel's show and maybe has, you know, a sit down on his YouTube series. I think that would be great. I definitely think now he should sure. do it. But then it's almost like the heavy lifting, the conversation, the self-work is being outsourced to Emmanuel's platform.
Yeah.
We've done what we are going to do in the franchise when it comes to this. If y'all want to do deeper, you know, work, go talk about it over there. I'm just saying optically, that's what it might be. Like, I'm not implying that that's, you know.
I agree. I mean, it's.
It was an opportunity.
It seems
they didn't
like a
take
missed
it.
Opportunity.
It's unfortunate.
And because there are still a lot of conversations and more debates. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the Chris Harrison situation is, I guess we can, what we call it is, it's created an even greater divide. Mm-hmm. It feels political. Mm-hmm. To your point, that Chris coming out and having this conversation with Emmanuel could have been almost a healing opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
And Chris reinforcing to his supporters, you can support me without feeling like you're against anyone
exactly.
else.
Yeah.
You know, especially like Rachel mm-hmm. Lindsay. And I think that's a really important message that needs to be reinforced over and over, because, you know, I've seen it on the internet. I see it
yeah.
in my DMs
that
it doesn't seem to be getting through to people.
Right.
And I think it's because, you know, yeah, we're not bringing these mm-hmm. parties together as mm-hmm. much. And so I agree. I think that was a big missed opportunity.
Yeah, same.
Getting into what we did see
yeah.
at AFR. How did you feel like Emmanuel did?
I thought Emmanuel did well. I mean, there are big shoes to fill, right? And the entire nation is watching, and the entire nation has an opinion. And it's a very polarizing time, you know, for a show that traditionally had not been particularly polarizing. So for him to step into these shoes, and some people think that he shouldn't be there because Chris should still be there, mm-hmm. right? And then other people are just curious to see how this guy is going to go. And also, he's new to the franchise in this sense. He's not a familiar face to Bachelor Nation. It's just an intimidating job. So I think he did the best he could with what he had to work with. I do. I wish the conversations had gone a little deeper. And I know that Emmanuel has the capacity and the depth for that. We've seen those conversations in his series. I don't know if that was a production thing, a we've only got this much time thing, yeah. We might need these questions to be a little more softball because, like, how deep are we really going to dive right now? I don't know.
Yeah.
So I would have loved for the conversation to have gone a little deeper, particularly with Emmanuel and Rachel. When he asked her, you know, people are going to ask, are you doing the work? Have you grown? What's happening here? And then her response was, you know, I could say that I'm reading these books and doing but I've just got to do the work. I was like, no, wait, just literally say that. Like, yeah. Please tell me I would love to hear a book title. Yeah. Like, what is a podcast? What are we talking about here? So that part, like, I was trying to rock with her, really. Like, I'm not a fan of cancel culture. I believe that when people make mistakes, if they can own them and learn from them, that forgiveness is possible and should be encouraged in most situations. And this is one of those. If it really felt like she was doing the work, I felt like in that answer, I started to become more cynical and start to wonder if anything was actually happening behind the scenes. And I don't want to imply I do not know what she is or isn't doing. She may feel that she's just not ready to speak publicly about it because it's a lot to process and it's a lot to fully understand. But it did feel a little bit like a Band-Aid. Her answer felt like, I could say all of that stuff, but I just need to do it. I would have appreciated hearing what she's in the middle of learning how to do. I'm not looking for, you know, her to be able to write a dissertation on, you know, the Old South and all of its implications and, you know, what happened before 1865 and after. It's more about the Black experience, right? Mm-hmm. The fact that she didn't understand why it caused that much hurt or how deep those roots are. The fact that she is in love with a Black man who clearly was very hurt up on that stage. Even still, you know, the fact that he wouldn't even embrace her at the end when Emmanuel kind of suggested or prompted one final hug goodbye shows that he was hurt. And Rachel acknowledged that. She said, you know, as I sat with this, I realized just how bad it had to be because of how much it hurt you. So there's learning in that, right? Like, and I'm in an interracial relationship. Like, these are conversations that are had in different capacities, in different ways. But sometimes you only understand once you see the pain it inflicts. And so I wouldn't knock her for that because when you know better, you can do better. But until you know better, you can't.
Yeah.
And so I can extend grace in that situation. She didn't know until she knew. I think it's more about, okay, if you take dating this Black man seriously, if you take being in this interracial relationship in America seriously, you might want to start doing some heavy lifting and reading those books. Yeah. Not about, you know, the antebellum South, about being Black in America. Watch the documentaries, you know, learn about mass incarceration and what it does to Black men and Black families. And, you know, I won't get into the specifics of Matt and his parents, but there's work to be done around understanding the Black experience.
Yeah.
So that you can move into new interactions and new experiences with more compassion and understanding. And so it's less about the photo and like beating a dead horse and more about what work are you doing so that moving forward, you don't find yourself in different situations like that because you're really starting to empathize and have compassion for someone whose experience and upbringing and history is so unlike yours.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, that's things that even in the past year, you know, people have asked me like, what have you learned?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Cause even I'll be like, hey, I'm just trying to learn.
Yeah.
I think, more than anything, what I've learned is how much racism still exists in our country, more than I think most people wanted to acknowledge mm-hmm. and admit. I think, mm-hmm. you know, growing up in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. you're just like, and you watch movies like The Help or A Time to Kill or Higher Learning. You're like, you know what? That stuff doesn't happen anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, how mm-hmm. could it? And mm-hmm. then you're just like, yeah, it doesn't happen, you know? Yeah. And we watch the news and we go on the internet and with the times that we're in, you're just like, and kind of to the point where it just didn't start happening again. I mean, racism, right. I think, is on the rise for a lot of reasons, but mm-hmm. it's also been going on. And I think that's something that a lot of white people and people like myself who grew up in kind of these isolated communities just kind of, I don't know, conveniently ignored or didn't mm-hmm. pay attention to. And I think that's eye-opening. And, yeah. And you know, you watch, like you talked, The 13th on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I watched that this summer and completely changed. You sit there and think about what I thought as a young man growing up and as a mm-hmm. teenager, and why, you know, black men were in jail, you mm-hmm. know, because you're just like, oh, well, you know, when you're younger, what'd you do? Well, if you're in jail, you must have deserved mm-hmm, it. I don't know. I'm not in jail.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't do anything wrong. Yeah. And you watch that and you're just like, you feel a lot of guilt. You feel shame. You feel defensive. And it's very eye-opening.
Yeah,
and I think those are the things that I think, as a society, we're still
right
grappling with.
We certainly are. Like, I'm from Ohio, and I went to an all-white school. Really, I was the only black girl for the last, I think, about 5 or 6 years of that experience, from 7th grade through 12th grade. And you know, I have black friends, I have white friends. Obviously, I'm black and grew up in an all-black family, so I grew up sort of bouncing between two worlds culturally, and I very much was a black young woman in an all-white space a lot of times. And a lot of times it was just pure ignorance. And I say that to say, a lot of my white friends just didn't know better until there was a me in their life for them to realize, oh wait, you've gone through what? Your parents did what? Your mom, when she was born, they literally kicked your grandmother out of the hospital as soon as your mom was born and sent her across the street to a drafty room because she wasn't supposed to be born at the white hospital, but she came a little. My mom is like 60 something. That is not that long ago.
Yeah.
But until you hear your black friends or your black acquaintances or black colleagues telling their stories, and assuming you're open to listening, you don't really realize, because it hasn't been your experience. And it's okay that it wasn't your experience. We wish it that we could say the same. You know, it's just about extending grace and having compassion when you understand it. And it's about asking questions and having those tough conversations. And 2020, particularly, as difficult as it was to be black, period. But last year, I was encouraged by a lot of the conversations that I was having with, you know, my white friends, people from school having conversations with me and not being like, teach me everything, tell me what to do, because that's the last thing that a black person wants to do. Y'all, we're tired. We're tired. I don't have the energy. Right.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, Google it. I don't know. I'm tired. But when they would come to me and be like, you know what, I read this book, or I saw When They See Us, I couldn't believe that when I was watching those kids' stories play out, you know, and now the Exonerated Five and what that was, like, it blew my mind that that could even happen. No one told them about it. And our history books don't reflect accurately the black experience. And so where would you learn this stuff if you've only ever grown up around the white people who you've only ever grown up around? So people are starting to understand, and that's encouraging, and I hope the conversations continue. But yeah, it's definitely a difficult time, but it's a necessary time for all of us.
Yeah.
And to your point about, which I thought is a good one and really important to note, you know, I think sometimes white people are like, oh my God, I don't want to get it wrong, or I want to speak out, but I'm afraid that when I speak out, because cancel culture is real, if I speak out the wrong way, it'll do the reverse. And you know, there's a quote that I'll butcher, because I always butcher quotes that I attempt to say, but essentially, you know, speak even if your voice shakes, right? Like, even if you're scared, even if you're unsure, speak, right? And last summer, particularly at peak Black Lives Matter and all of the social unrest, what broke my heart more than anything was just certain people staying silent. Like, I don't care what you say, try to find some words in this moment. And that's just the start. I'm not saying that that's enough, but that's the start. And so I would just encourage people on both sides of the line, black, white, whatever, to just extend grace to one another, because if we all feel like we can't have a conversation and disagree and find common ground, we're not going to get anywhere. And it really scares me how polarizing the world is now and how it's like the loudest people get the most attention. Yes. And I feel like there's such a spectrum and you have extremes on both sides. And those are the people who are the loudest. So that's what we hear. And that's what we assume is a reflection of our nation and the general sentiment. And it's just, it's not true. It's not true, at least for me, when I talk to people on the ground, Black, white, you know, and other races and ethnicities who are, you know, experiencing this. But the loudest are the ones who get the play. And very yeah. often it makes it feel like a very polarizing situation where I feel like a lot of people do want to understand. They just want to be able to have those conversations.
I
safe space.
I totally agree. And I think the one thing that worries me sometimes is talk about cancel culture. Mm-hmm. People, the canceling of conversations,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you're right. I think sometimes these conversations are happening not in public, and that's good because yeah. we shouldn't always
right.
put it on
Everything
the internet.
Does not doesn't have to be always, for public consumption.
And we have to just have these conversations in spaces where we feel safe, where we can mm-hmm. say, hey, listen, I want to ask why.
Right.
And I'm really afraid I'm going to sound ignorant by just not knowing,
mm-hmm.
But I want to understand because I, you know, mm-hmm. I don't want to just be ignorant
yeah.
and that can be scary sometimes. But on a public platform, you know, I hope these conversations can happen
yeah.
because, you know, when people have these platforms, it seems to be like, to your point, only the extremes are willing to go out there
yeah.
and say their
exactly.
their piece because either they don't care or aren't worried about, you know,
mm-hmm.
upsetting their opposing point of view
yeah.
and maybe they're embracing it and maybe there's a performative aspect to
mm-hmm.
Saying something they know will stir the pot. And then you just have people, you know, disagreeing and agreeing. And that's, you know, that's why I said the Chris Harrison thing, like there's a conversation here. I agree. Like it
right.
would have been, you know, hearing Chris out, hearing Emmanuel, not hearing Chris out, but like having a discussion between mm-hmm. Emmanuel and like what I think is important. I think
yeah.
Bree said it yesterday really well. She hopes Chris can be a catalyst for change,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I hope that too. I don't know what's going to happen with Chris going forward.
Mm-hmm.
It remains unclear. I mean, it was kind of weird last night to have Chris in his voiceover introduce Emmanuel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anyone picked up on that. And so it is unclear.
Yeah.
And I think while you have this uncertainty, we have people just fighting over, it's either fire Chris Harrison
mm-hmm.
or no, Chris has been our host no matter
right.
what. The
right.
show doesn't, like, Chris did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And it says, no,
yeah.
Chris totally did something
yeah, he
wrong.
Did.
And
but people do things wrong and they learn and they apologize. And if they do the work and then they can grow, so be it,
yeah.
particularly in this case, you know. And I don't think it is one or the other. You're right. There's some space in the middle where Chris doesn't have to be canceled and never touch the Bachelor franchise again, in my opinion. And yet still there can be a reckoning there.
Yeah. But I also recognize, you know, Chris has this, you know, as the host of The Bachelor,
mm-hmm.
it's a huge platform. It's a
mm-hmm.
huge microphone.
It's a big responsibility.
We're in a time where social justice is happening like never before in great
mm-hmm.
ways. And whoever is in that role
mm-hmm.
needs to be able to speak on it in a
yeah.
way that has positive actions
yeah.
and reinforcement.
Yeah.
And so there's a fair criticism if Chris is still that person appropriately for that job. And I'm not saying, I have
100%.
No answer for it, but you have to be able to ask that question.
Oh, absolutely. That criticism is fair and accurate and definitely something I agree with. To add to that, the missed opportunity with After the Final Rose is what makes me feel like there's a gulf that is becoming wider
mm-hmm.
between, oh, Chris can kind of get back into this ecosystem sooner than later. Because that was a big missed opportunity. And when we think about the fact that, you know, Tayshia and Caitlin are going to be hosting the next two seasons, I guess you would say, separate seasons of The Bachelorette.
It's unclear.
Is that unclear now? Okay.
I think it's unclear. I think you people have to pay attention to what was said. And the first of all, it was the news dump of all news dumps at like 11 p.m. Eastern on a Friday.
When
they posted that. They specifically say that Chris won't be hosting this season. And then they said that Tayshia and Caitlin will be supporting the next Bachelorette in a supportive role. They didn't say...
They did not label them hosts.
They did not label them hosts. I know those words were specifically chosen.
For sure.
And then you have Chris doing the voiceover for... So it remains unclear.
Nick. Wait, I'm picking up what you're putting down. Are you implying that Tayshia and Caitlin will be supporting and that we might still see Chris in some capacity?
I don't think we'll see Chris at all on Katie's season.
Never mind. I'm putting down what you never...
But what I'm saying is I think there will be a difference in what you see Chris has done in the role he has performed. And Caitlin and Tayshia.
Got it.
I think you'll see a lot of heart to hearts with Katie. And quite frankly, again, like, you know, sometimes when Chris sits and talks to the Bachelorettes and the Bachelor, it doesn't seem like there's a connect there. Maybe Caitlin and Tayshia that'll seem more natural.
Yeah, exactly. Because they've been through this experience and can relate in a totally different way. I'll be interested. I'm interested to watch
My guess is the franchise will take this season to... This will be the first time without Chris.
Yeah.
What is it like?
Let's see how it goes.
I'll see how it goes. Mm-hmm. I think decisions haven't been made, is my guess. Mm-hmm. But I think they were very careful how they made that statement and left the door open for them to have options.
Totally agree.
Anything else before we let Zuri go that we want to speak on before we let you go? I really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, no, of course. Glad to be here.
Thanks, Zuri.
Are we excited about Michelle and Katie?
I'm excited. I'm a big Katie fan because I just love to see her stand up against bullying in the house and lead that charge. I thought it was brave. And she just seems like a really sweet girl. Like, she has a great personality. Michelle, I'm super excited about more excited about, honestly, just because my heart goes out to her. And obviously we saw her heart break, you know, in that final episode. So I'm excited for her to find love.
Yeah, I'm excited for both. I think to that end, they'll both be great Bachelorettes because you want someone who has no problem speaking
laying
her
all
truth
out on the line,
and they'll do it differently, but they'll both do it well. I am curious how a season will be without Chris, and I think it's an opportunity to see if change is in the works or not, but it will certainly be something to watch out and I guess continue to discuss more things.
We shall see.
Zuri, I can't thank you enough for taking the time and having these conversations.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
I'm always appreciative of those conversations just because, like I said, I'm still trying to learn and understand. Yeah. And to your point, all my friends, black friends, people of color, I know it's always like, how many people like me have called you up and asked you a question?
But here's the thing, if you're my friend especially, I'd rather you pick up the phone and ask the question than sit in silence and let that divide stay. You know, let that ignorance exist or sit.
Well,
but go to your patient black friend, y'all. Don't go to the Western City. You got to pick the friend wisely because everybody doesn't have time for that.
I can't thank you enough. Tell people about your podcast that is out as well.
Yeah, I've got a podcast on iHeartRadio in partnership with the Black Effect Network from Charlamagne the God, and it's called Hot Happy Mess. Super excited. It's for millennial women who still want side parts and skinny jeans in their lives. Okay. Gen Z is welcome too. All are welcome. And we're really just about, you know, celebrating our magic in the middle of life's messes, embracing the hot, the happy, the mess of our lives all at the same time. So we're talking love, relationships, dating. I have experts on, therapists. I have my real life best friends, some uncomfortable conversations, a lot of really fun, just wacky ones, and then some insight too. So we're spoon feeding you the veggies with a lot of chocolate and wine and dessert.
Sounds like something my audience would certainly love. Yeah. So be sure to check that out, guys. And Zuri, again, thanks so much
for having me, Nick.
You're welcome back anytime.
All right.
Thanks, guys, for listening. We appreciate it. Subscribe, review, all that fun stuff. I hope you guys enjoyed this breakdown. Go check out Bree's interview if you haven't. And until then, we'll see you on Monday.